You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned into episode 110 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm really tired. I just got back from seeing some friends in Minnesota, and we did an Extra Life stream for 24 hours, and I was not awake for the whole thing of it, but man, that takes a lot out of you. It was a lot of fun. We raised like $1,100, which was awesome.
Nice.
But I'm fucking exhausted.
No doubt.
My plane got in last night at like 1 a.m. I got home last night at 1 a.m. and went to work today, and yeah.
That's a lot. Happy Monday.
It's something. But yeah.
Yeah, when you do that, yeah, when your Sunday looks like that.
Yeah. Like my entire Sunday was like, so Sunday, a friend of ours was like, hey, let's all go do these things before I drop you off at the airport. Cause like the stream was Saturday and we started at like 2 a.m., which was exhausting. But the stream, like on Sunday, we like went around and visited a whole bunch of things and hung out with a couple of people, but I just had like no energy left, and it was like 20 degrees in Minnesota. I'm like, God, get me the hell out of here. I ended up like going to the airport like 3 hours early and just like sat and played Pokemon and just waited for my flight.
I mean, is that so bad?
It was kind of great, actually.
Dude,
but nothing against the people I was hanging out with, but I was just so exhausted.
No, dude, that's good stuff. My girlfriend and I got into Stardew Valley recently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she just went across the country for a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very much excited to get in some Stardew days, both at the airport and on the plane. And it cracks me up. As soon as she got home yesterday,
mm-hmm.
On Sunday, she immediately was like, so I'm on the last day of fall. I'm like, what already? Man, I'm on the last day of spring. I'm literally on the last day of spring. Anyway, that game is a fun game to play, but she was so excited to play it on the plane again.
Yeah.
I will say, recently, I thought I'd lost my Nintendo Switch. I knew it would turn up. It did.
Where was it, just out of curiosity?
In my girlfriend's glove box, right where I left it.
Great.
Yep. Totally forgot about that. But yeah, I will say, like, for her, she was almost looking forward to the wait, because she was like, I know that I don't have to worry about anything, and I can just focus on this game until I have to.
Yeah, no, I can completely relate to that. Like, we're going to get to Pokemon in the second half of the show, because it's basically just going to be setting me loose, and I'm just going to go.
Yeah, baby.
But yeah, like, the fact that I could just, like, show up to the airport 3 hours early, and even on my flight, just sit there and play fucking Pokemon was awesome. And, like, this,
it felt
like, all right, this is all you can do right now, so just do it, you know? Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, there's, like, even though traveling can be hectic, and, like, you're doing a thing, like, you're engaged, even when you're not physically moving in the act of traveling,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a whole thing. But it's nice because since you have direction, you have, like you said, you only have one thing to worry about on your plate. You're like, nothing matters right now except I'm waiting for them to let me board my plane otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else really matters right now.
I just sat around, waited, and I ended up having like an hour and a half layover in Chicago, which just got dinner and it was fine. And I played Pokemon there too, and it was great.
Right.
But like my flight home was even better because it was like an 11 p.m. Flight from Chicago to Kansas City on a Sunday night. And so there were
that
95 open seats on the plane. So basically every single person got a row to themselves. I just like kicked back. It was fucking great.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, it was good. I'm so tired.
That's great. Well, there's such a, well, besides you being tired, because that's pretty late.
That's, oh boy.
It's nice that there's this freedom to doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you were literally flying solo.
Yeah.
Which adds an extra layer of like, I can do exactly what I want,
yeah.
And I don't even have to keep up with the player too. You know,
totally.
I don't have to worry about when somebody has to eat or pee or do anything.
Right.
Or even check their luggage.
It was kind of great.
Yeah. It's cool stuff. I remember getting the Switch a little bit after this time last year. It's for Christmas break. And man, I can't say enough how great of a traveling companion that is. So yeah, I like this time of year for that. I've mentioned in past shows that I have my backlog that I want to knock out, which mostly right now includes God of War. Game is amazing. God, the more I put into it, the more I'm just like, man, this is just quality.
It's really good.
Top to bottom.
It's really good.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going to try to to really knock some of that out, because I'm trying to maybe platinum it. So I've got and I'm on the hardest difficulty.
It's really not a hard platinum, with the exception of a couple of extra things that you have to do. It's more time consuming than anything.
Well, I think I'm going to do that. I've been working on Celeste because I want to get to the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have like three more B-sides. But yeah, I've been knocking it out piece by piece. I finally hit my first puzzle where I actually don't know what to do.
Oh, nice.
So I'm sitting on it. I'm going to go back to it and I hope I solve it. But I've really been enjoying that, just popping into that instead of Splunky and, you know, just grinding a few games or, you know, a few levels, really satisfying, and then sending it back down again. Yeah, played a lot of video games this past weekend. So
also same.
So cool. So what else? So what have I actually played? Let's talk about the main thing I want to play in a second.
Okay.
First, and I'm going to set my timer right now.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Apex Legends.
Okay, do you want me to set the timer?
We can both do it.
Okay, give me 1 second here. I know this makes for great radio.
Hey, I don't
timer.
Care.
2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
I about put 2 hours, and no, we're not doing that again.
I imagine you'd press the start button, and it would just cut out, and you'd be like, yeah, Thomas actually spoke for 2 hours, so this is the first episode that we've edited.
All right. 2 minutes starting now.
All right. So I've been playing Apex Legends.
Okay, tell me about it.
Dude, I hit Platinum this past weekend, mm-hmm. which is exciting. I was steadily growing up the tier. The way the rank stuff works is you'll never get demoted. Like, if you're in Platinum, I'll never go back down to Gold this season. You can go Platinum 4, 3, 2, 1, you know, climb, and you can fall back down there, but you can't. I can't knock
That's
back down
nice.
To Gold. It is nice, because it was hard work to get up to where I'm at. And I was looking forward to actually goofing around a little more, because I was like, oh, I'm at the bottom of the food chain here. Now I can go back to like being relaxed about it. But it's so much fun. Like,
yeah.
The higher I climb, the better the matches are, where like now I feel like I have a good challenge. I feel like the people around me are my level. I still have plenty of room to grow. But now, because I'm playing against better people, I feel like I'm really improving. And the games, you know, ranked in that game is so much more interesting, because people are trying to stay alive a lot more instead of just get kills. So it just makes for these cool sequences of like guerrilla warfare, where
that's pretty rad.
The normal game, you're just like, look, a team, let's get them. And if you die, who cares?
Yeah.
Boot it back up. But in this, it matters. So, you know, there'll be times where you're like dodging, you're going between teams. You've got a team on the left and the right and above you, and you're just trying to, you know, get to the other side with your whole team intact. Mm-hmm. But I played a game that I clipped. So the clip on PlayStation is 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't even edit this one, because I started it up, and the beginning of the clip says, 8 squads left. And I was like, oh, this must be one where I die. And then the next game is where the cool thing happens at the end of the 15 minutes, right? Wrong. Dude, it was 15 minutes starting from that point,
mm-hmm.
and we already had like we had like 12 squad kills, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
And
yeah.
So that's where the thing started. It's Monday today. All right, it's Monday, and I'm going to post that unedited video tomorrow on Tuesday in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put it on Twitter, who knows. But it was cool. I don't expect hardly anybody to watch the whole thing, but the ending is so cool, dude. I'm going to make you watch it one way or another.
I will watch that at some point for sure. I don't know if it'll be tonight, because I really need to get some sleep.
Don't watch it tonight. But
if you like, throw it in our Facebook group, I'll probably check it out.
I will. I've really been having a good time in that.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome. That is cool. I played Fortnite with a few people recently, actually. And obviously, like, the Season 2 changes didn't really affect me too much, just because I didn't really play a whole lot of Season 1. I played for, like, a month, or not Season 1, Chapter 1, excuse me.
Ah, yes.
That's, like, Season 6 or 8 or fucking, I don't remember. But, yeah, that game's good, and I really like playing it. It's a really, for the first time in a while, like, before I left on this trip, I was like, man, I really want to play Destiny, but, like, Fortnite's pretty fucking fun. I don't know. I'm probably just going to reserve that for more of just a social thing. But now that means that I am juggling 4 or 5 fucking video games, which is a bad thing. It's a bad thing.
So I think what happened to me is, at the same time, I tried to pick up WoW Classic, which I did, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty much done with it now. I made a bunch of money and really enjoyed making that money. I would say that that's maybe my favorite part of the game. But I did that, gave all my money away. I actually need to cancel my sub. But I picked that game up. At the same time, I kind of tried to pick up Destiny, sort of.
Yeah, you tried.
I tried, and I enjoyed it, but I don't think I'm willing to play that over some of the other titles
totally
I'm already excited
that.
About.
Yeah.
And because both of those were like kind of a flash in the pan in a way that I didn't expect, I expected to stick with one of them and still be playing it now. Well, since that happened, it created this vacuum where I'm just like, well, I could just play whatever I want.
What do I play?
Right. So I did pick up God of War again, and I jumped back into the, you know, Celeste and Spelunky and a bunch of these. I like it. It's not what I expected to happen.
Yeah, that is kind of nice. I'm very much right now a slave to the service game, and well,
they
also
offer
not
good services.
Service games, but Destiny 2 is real good, but I absolutely understand people falling off of it. It stuck for me, but I can fully understand why it's not sticking for a lot of other people, because it is an MMO, and MMOs are, I don't want to say niche, but they're not for everybody, kind of by design.
I know we already talked about it, but definitely the onboarding process for a new player.
It's bad.
It left a lot to
be
desired.
I'll say it. It's bad. It's very not good. It's not good at all. Yeah. I would love to see that change maybe in like the next season or two, but who knows?
Yeah,
that's obviously, I don't know like what they can and can't do. I'm not a developer at Bungie. Like, obviously they're doing their best, you know?
Yeah, you do what you can.
Yeah, totally.
What else? Okay, so the other thing, the thing I've for real been playing that's new.
Yeah.
Is the auto chess version of Hearthstone.
Yes, tell me about that, because I actually have never played an auto chess or auto battler game, and I don't actually know how they work.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you what it's not.
Okay.
What it's not is Hearthstone. So,
interesting.
But what you do is you boot up Hearthstone, and you can pick your different modes. Usually it's like, you know, multiplayer, like play, single player, Tavern Brawl if it's out, which is a goofy game mode, and then Arena, where whatever you the Arena you can play. You don't have to own any cards to be able to play that.
I really like Arena.
It's cool, and you can win big rewards if you're good. Yeah. So that's very much like the most skill rewarded part of the game. So you don't just have to pay for everything. They added a new mode that also doesn't require you to own cards called Battlegrounds, and in Battlegrounds, it has a decent enough tutorial. There was only one big question that I had to ask the internet to answer. So I think they'll make it a little smoother onboarding. But what it is an auto chess game. And the only auto chess game that I've played is the game that's actually called Auto Chess.
Yes.
Made
by Dota one.
Yeah. And I think I talked about this on this podcast some time ago. I played it a lot for like a week or two. And basically, to oversimplify it, you over time get money, use money to buy units, use money to upgrade the maximum strength of the units you can choose from. So over time you get money and you can say, hey, I want to access the next tier, you know, tier 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of minions to choose from, and it'll roll dice and it'll give you random ones, right? So sometimes, you know, if you have a lineup of minions, some of them still might be the weakest ones, but some of them might be the strongest ones. Well, the gimmick in any auto chess game, and so other auto chess games include Underlords, which is the Dota one.
So you said that you like get like a random roll of like a group of minions that you can pick from, kind of like, sort of like, if I'm putting it in Hearthstone terms, so I understand, kind of like you're drafting the cards in Arena. Is that similar?
It's not totally dissimilar. You have when the game starts, you can pick from three really wimpy minions, and I don't really want to get too into the nitty gritty with how you buy them, because it's a little confusing. I don't think I can explain it well enough.
I probably just need to download one of these and try them at some point.
But there's plenty I can tell you though.
Okay.
So what you do is you spend money on minions, and if you get three of the same minion, they upgrade.
Okay.
So they upgrade, and in this game, in Battlegrounds, Hearthstone Battlegrounds, you upgrade your minion, and it goes back into your hand as the upgraded form. And this time, when you play it onto the field, which I'll tell you about in a second, it gives you a special card that says, hey, discover, which is what you do in Arena. You constantly are discovering. You're looking at, here are three choices. Pick one. It says, discover a minion from the next tier up, from whatever you're at right now. That's really good.
That is pretty good.
Because yeah. it's technically free, mm-hmm. even though, you know, you had to buy minions to get it. So the difficulty there is that since the minions that show up for you to buy are random, you're gambling. Like, you can't be sure that you're going to see more of whatever minion you need. And also, there's, to some extent, a shared pool of minions. So if everyone else is buying Murlocs, there aren't going to be any Murlocs for you, or beasts, or mechs, or any other card types, right? So if everybody tries to pick the same stuff, you lose for it. So what this means is you buy these minions. They do a bunch of stuff that can get kind of complicated. But the minions in this mode are the same minions from Hearthstone, just the normal card game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's technically no mana in this. There are no spells in this. You only put these minions on the field. Okay, so you lay them out. And like a chessboard, you want to pick where each one goes on your side of the board. So you can have maximum of 7 minions, which is what normal Hearthstone is.
Right.
So you put them on the field, and your guys will attack from left to right. So like your leftmost minion will attack first. It'll pick a random target on the other side of the board, and it'll hit them. And then the other person will do that, and then you do that back and forth. And you basically put them down strategically so that you want them to attack in a certain order. You want to hopefully have them like die in a certain order, because like you might have one that's like, hey, when this thing dies, everything else gets much stronger.
Yeah.
So you want that thing to die first, so you put it up.
That's
first.
Really interesting. So it's like way more kind of position focused, which is something that, from at least from my experience, like regular Hearthstone, like obviously positioning is important to an extent.
But this is all positioning.
But this is all positioning.
The whole game.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's fast. What I like about it is, even though it'll take about the same amount of time as a normal game of Hearthstone, it's much more engaging. Like, the clock between rounds is constantly going in a way where there's excitement at the end of every minute or whatever, however long those turns take. It's just interesting to see all that stuff play out. I'm still really new to the genre, so I have a lot to learn for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm starting to get it, especially being in one of the big Hearthstone groups on Facebook, where people are asking all sorts of questions, so I can kind of pick people's brains. It's cool. It's cool. It's free. There's some stuff. It wants you to pre-order the upcoming expansion for December.
Mm.
And if you pre-order that, you can, like, at the start of your game, you pick a hero, and all the heroes have different powers, and they're a bunch of heroes. And they're all way different. They're weird. Like, you're not playing the normal heroes you play in Hearthstone.
Interesting. So they just like have different heroes now, or
it basically took cards from the game and made them a hero.
Oh, okay, cool.
So like the beast one is King Mukla, which is the first legendary minion that was, or the beast or whatever that was put in the game. So his thing is like, every time you purchase a beast, add a banana to your hand, which allows you to slightly
buff. That's a +1/+1. Yeah. Okay.
And then there are a ton of those. I don't really want to explain them because I feel like I'll really get into the weeds there.
Sure.
But they're very different. And I've tried to pick the same ones multiple times to experiment with them. So the point is, at the beginning of the match, you can pick between two heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pre-order the expansion, it allows you to pick between three heroes, which seems much better. And the issue is, I have in-game gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have in-game currency that when the expansion pack comes out, I can buy packs. That's what I always do. I save up for the next expansion. So I'm saving up, but I know I'm going to spend the money on those packs. I wish it would let me use my gold to pre-purchase the packs so I can get that bonus for...
Yeah, that does kind of suck. I always kind of hated that.
Yeah, it was like, man, it's like...
I understand why they do it, like, business-wise, and especially being a free-to-play game. Like, you're going to put that front and center for sure. But it'd be kind of nice to be like, hey, you know, cool.
Because I want to pre-order the thing. Like, even if it meant I wasn't able to use those packs for a month.
Right. You should still...
Like, I want to have the option of...
You should still, like, reward players for investing that much time into the game. Because, like, if you're pre-ordering, and even if it's just, like, 50 packs, that's a lot of fucking coins. Because a coin is like 100 packs.
Yeah. So I have 2,500, which is a lot to me.
Yeah.
I pretty much never spend it till the expansions come out.
Mm.
Really wish they would let me spend my in-game currency. You know, Apex does the same thing. I have a ton of the red in-game currency, whatever it's called, legend tokens or something. I have a million of those. but the game won't let me spend it unless I spend real money first. Then it will let me use my red money to buy a unique thing.
Do you know what game does let you spend the in-game currency on whatever cool seasonal thing's happening?
What's that?
Destiny 2.
Oh, ho.
Yeah, they just wrapped up like their big Halloween event, which was fucking cool. It was great. I would like straight up give them $10 to keep like how the tower looked right now. Oh, I say right now. It's by the time this goes out, the event's over. But it's like real spooky and like very colorful. There's like some cool like almost super cheesy Halloween haunted music in the tower. Like everything is, it's so cool and good and like weird and cozy. And I would straight up give Bungie $10 if I could just keep that aesthetic for the tower around. Just luck to my instance too.
I would pay $10 to have some of the tavern brawls that have been on Hearthstone stick around forever.
Yeah.
Some of those,
that'd
like,
be great.
Some of those, I bet I would pay $30 straight up just for some of the, like for, if there was one game mode I loved enough.
Wow.
There's some in there that are like more fun than the normal game when they come up.
Yeah, I can,
it's just
I can
like,
see that.
Oh,
I just
shit.
I don't know if I would go to 30.
Well, I would, because pre-purchasing the next expansion costs like it's you can either
it's
pay like
$50 yeah.
or $80 for
yeah,
like the
that's,
bonus.
That's true. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
You know, and Overwatch, I spent a bunch of money. Even Apex, I think I spent actually $20. But when you play through the battle pass, you unlock more currency. I think it's enough to buy the next battle pass. So as long as you play enough, you don't actually really spend anything. But, you know, I'd throw money at that stuff. I spend money on Overwatch, blah, blah, blah. So I would totally pay money for some of the tavern brawls to be permanent in Hearthstone. I would also, I'd probably pay $5 or $10 to have the Halloween event from Apex be permanent. Where it's like the zombies.
I know
mode.
A lot of people who'd be like, I want solos forever. Give me solos, which is cool.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff about that.
Yeah.
It's funny that those are all like service games, but once that service is, they're like, oh, and it's gone, as if it's some limited edition that goes in a vault. It's like, wait a minute, you guys took this
what
away.
The fuck?
You took this away from me. You can't give me something like that and then expect me to be happy when you take it away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to some of the cool game modes that are out there, but I kind of wish they'd stick around. The rotating
stuff
is bad for the same reason it's
totally
good.
Totally understand
you know?
That. Also, real quick brag on myself. I did hit 100, level 100 on my season pass for Destiny 2. So I've completed the battle pass.
Nice.
Because I've played a lot of that game.
How long does the season go?
I think December.
Well, it's like
there's another month or so. It's I think
it 3 months?
It's like 75 days or something like that.
Yeah, I think the Apex one is like 90 days.
Yeah, something like that. It's like 2.5 months or whatever. I don't think we know anything about the next one, or if we do, it's been like leaked or something, but I haven't looked into it. But I'll sure as shit still be playing it, that's for sure.
I intentionally didn't look up details, so I'm kind of being like a clickbait audio headline right now, but I think it was Eurogamer reported that there was a big data mine leak of Battle Royale stuff in Call of Duty in the new Modern Warfare.
Yeah, that checks out. I would be honestly kind of surprised if they didn't do that again, because people really liked Blackout.
It doesn't surprise me at all. Honestly, I think I just expected that was a thing already. So when they were like, leaked details, I'm like, assumed there's going to be a Battle Royale.
I don't remember. Did Black Ops 4 launch with Blackout? I don't think it did.
No, it did not.
Okay, so this is, I guess, kind of par for the course. And they also probably want people to, like, play the story that they made and stuff like that, and also it could have just taken a little bit extra time. That's within the realm of possibility, but I'm sure that's gonna do fine, because that's already the best-selling game of the year.
Yeah,
so.
And that game is really good looking. That's the best-selling game of the year
after like 2 days. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's Call of
people
Duty. It's
love
gonna
Call
sell
of Duty.
Oh yeah, it is it makes it prints money.
Well,
the only
it seems
the
like
only
a good
reason
one
it didn't win last year was because Red Dead 2 came out, and Rockstar is like the company that prints money more than Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's really hard to compete with. Like,
it is.
Can you imagine
being
like a movie and you're like, oh, we don't want to open on the same weekend as so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then you're making a game and you're like, well, we don't want to open in the same year as fucking the Grand Theft Auto guys.
Yeah,
you know,
honestly.
Because you sucks all the oxygen out of the air.
Well, whenever, like, the reason that this past, like, early part of the year was, or am I thinking that right? Yeah. No, the reason that, like, a lot of games got pushed to that spring was because, like, this past spring was because of Red Dead. Like, Red Dead was like, hey, we're going to launch in October, and they're like, cool, we're getting the fuck out of here.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, that's me just kind of fucking spitballing. But, like, a lot of games kind of got pushed to that spring window. And it felt like very much like we're going to get the fuck away from Red Dead.
But I mean, it's like, all right, they got the holiday season. Right, we're out. Pack it up, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel conflicted about that headline because I find myself conflicted. So about the leak, right? The data mine leak. I think here in my old age of 28, I see stuff like Jason Schreier posting like, hey, first I just found this like hot new thing. Like, you know, right before E3, it'd be like, hey, you're about to hear these six like new brand new announcements. Get ready. And I see that and I'm like, man, there are a lot of people who worked for a long time who like wanted to have the one shot to be like, surprise, motherfuckers, like, right, check this thing out we did. And you took that away. And, you know, I don't think Jason Schreier is like a villain. He almost always is the person who breaks news like that. So he's the guy I pull out of the hat, or the name I pull out of the hat. You know, I don't need to stop him from doing what he's doing. But when I see that stuff, my heart kind of breaks a little bit because I'm like, oh, man, somebody would have been really excited,
yeah,
to be able to enjoy that moment that the whole world found out about the new Battle Royale or something like that.
I think with the Call of Duty thing, it's a little different. Because I think literally everybody who like pretty much just buys Call of Duty every year, like you kind of go in assuming that a lot of the people playing Modern Warfare right now played Black Ops 4 last year. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like considering that mode was kind of a big part of what made Black Ops 4 successful, they would be kind of stupid to not do it. And I think that anybody looking at that, It didn't really feel like a, whoa, this is fucking wild. This was more of a, oh, well, yeah, of course they're going to do that.
Yeah. And so I'm not on some crusade where I'm just, sure, like, people shouldn't do that.
I think there are stuff like that for sure. Like Evo this past year, where there was a big Street Fighter like trailer leak that was accidentally put up by Steam. And like that.
Oh, yeah.
That like.
Or all the time that like Walmart has.
Fucking Walmart Canada. Yeah. No, but like that really, really impacted kind of the morale of the Street Fighter team. Like people were really bummed out by that because the stuff in it was so cool and like meant a whole lot to the community and they put so much love into it, and Steam just accidentally put the trailer up a day early.
Right. Especially at Evo, the whole thing is the people who are physically there,
right,
will see it before the rest of the world. So like the fastest, right, anyone else is going to see it is on a stream if somebody's recording it, mm-hmm, on their phone in the arena.
Right. And it's fucking cool.
It's like a
and
personal
like it's
thing.
It's part of like that experience. And like, I do totally agree with you for that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So my way to combat that is I just didn't click the link.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I'm not even out there like telling people they shouldn't or something.
I think leaks
something like
can
that
be fine. Like some stuff, like I think that, and I feel like Jason Schreier in particular does a really good job of kind of like walking that line of, and he's like, people have like talked to him multiple times where he's just like, I know exactly like what a bunch of studios are working on, but I'm not going to fucking tell you because that ruins what these people have been like. It ruins the moment that these, like, this is getting built to, you know?
Right.
And I think that's like, that's how you do it. Like the stuff that he has leaked out has been like, hey, like Diablo 4 has been in development for a while. He leaked some information about like canceled games that we'll like never see. And like it, basically things about how the industry as a whole runs. And I think that is, in my opinion, like as far as a leak goes, way more interesting than especially the stuff that comes out like pre E3. Like that's stuff that I don't really care about. Cause also I'm just, give me another week and I'm going to see it, you know?
Right. Yeah. There's so much to unpack there anyway.
Right.
I thought I watched everything from E3 only to find out there were like 10 more trailers.
Totally.
I tried
to watch quote every conference this year and I missed I think three of them and I didn't even realize it. There's
right.
It's cool. I love that.
But yeah, there's a big difference between like Jason Schreier reporting that stuff in what I imagine to be one of those conspiracy boards.
Sure.
Where everything's tied together.
Charlie Day bullshit.
That's
yeah.
What I always think of just the Charlie Day. I imagine that he's got one of those where he has all of this secret information that he can never talk to people. Well, actually, there could be stuff on there that he could literally never talk. He could be like, oh, I'll ruin someone's life if I
sure.
reveal something.
I mean, like,
you know, but I imagine he's got this board and then he gets the green light. Basically, the embargo lifts on one tiny pin of information. And so he's able to be like, okay, how do I navigate this? Because I know 10 things around it that I cannot talk about. So I have to figure out how to like very specifically leak this without saying the wrong thing. Cause with that, you know, with great power, you know, I feel like he could so easily just like phrase something a certain way. Like if you if I had all these secrets rolling around my head, I feel like if I ever spilled the beans about something, it would totally be by accident.
Oh,
by
yeah.
some offhanded thing, because I would refer to something as if it's common knowledge.
Same here. I completely understand that. Like I like to think I am good at keeping secrets, but at the same time, like every time that I know something that other people don't, it's just like
burning a hole.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And I just have to be like, haha, yep.
Yeah.
Ha-ha. Yeah, I can totally understand that. And it does get weird. And like obviously, like it's not just like Jason that knows these. There's like a ton of like very hardworking journalists out there that like are privy to a lot of information. And it's
But I think that's also why it's like if those leaks are gonna come out, Jason Schreier's the guy I'm actually gonna listen to.
Sure.
Because there are a bunch of sites that when I see anybody share those URLs, they're like what people who aren't me would call reputable sites mm-hmm. who, you know, they read them. It's not like fake. It's not necessarily clickbait, but kind of. But the point is they'll come out with stuff that's just unsubstantiated. I shared that thing several weeks ago about actually Kotaku.
Right. Yeah. There was like some I'll say
it was misinformation.
It was some like bullshit, like blowing like a couple of quotes out of proportion back whenever like all the Deadspin shit went down.
And stating it as fact.
Yeah. And they were like, just be like, hey, this person said this. And like this person said this. And I'm like, well, it's a hard fucking time. Like,
yeah,
they're literally fighting with their ownership. Like,
yeah,
that's not easy.
Parent group came in, a bunch of feathers were ruffled. And then this site that I shared, even though I'm like a dummy, I didn't recognize the URL, but I was like, somebody else who I trusted. This is where I get in trouble. When I see someone I trust share something and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, which is like the worst way to, that's exactly how fake news spreads. Like
entirely.
Because I didn't fact check it. I went in and I read it and it looked like it checked out. And somebody I trusted shared it, and so I shared it, and I'm sure somebody would have seen that and been like, oh, this is fact.
Yeah, I saw you posted that, and I hopped in there, and I'm like, hey, take this down. Like, get this.
Shut it down.
Like, you're, Thomas, I love you, but what the fuck? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
And I was like, well, even though I messed up, I'll, you know, edit this to be like, hey, guys, like, I'm going to leave this thread up to see what we've been talking about, but don't click the link. And you're like, don't even give them the clicks.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. So I was like, yeah, that's a much better idea.
There were a lot of people online who like work at Kotaku that were just like, what the fuck is this? Like, and there were still people just being like, oh, well, you have to say that. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure if they lost their job, they would talk about it because they're journalists.
Yeah, right.
You know,
they're not in the business of like,
right.
Oh, well, gotta, you know.
Contrary to what a lot of people believe, journalists are not out to fucking lie to you. Turns out,
right.
You know, it's not that fucking hard. All right, I'm just going to get mad now.
Well, dadgummit.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna sneak this in real
okay,
quick.
Okay, go for
this
it.
This is a totally sideways change
okay,
of pace.
Great.
But I got to sneak it in
okay.
before I unleash the hounds here
okay.
on Sword and Shield.
I am the hounds.
You are the hounds. I watched my friend play probably 2 hours of Star Wars Jedi Fallen
Order.
Yeah. I almost called it Fallen Republic.
I mean,
there are lots of Republic games.
That's
you know.
True. That's true. That game looks good.
It's cool.
It looks really good.
I got two sides. Both were unexpected for me. First, I'm much more interested in actually owning that game than I thought.
Is Thomas going to buy a new video game?
No.
I was going to say.
Dude, Outer Worlds and Control hold a tight
God,
first
you,
and
you
second
need to play
place.
Control. It's so good.
Yeah, Control's going to be the first one I get. No, I'm still not actually going to buy it, but I didn't think... I guess I didn't pay that close attention to what that game is.
They did a really bad job at marketing it.
Well, I also intentionally... Well, yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
And I kind of intentionally avoided pretty much any coverage.
Sure, understand
that. I knew I wasn't going to buy it. So I knew I was going to figure it out. I wasn't interested in keeping up with it because I was like, I'll just see. It's like Death Stranding. It's like, I'll just wait until it's out in the wild. Like, I'm not interested.
That's fair.
In the whole run, the rigmarole of teasers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not interested, but that's another story.
Yeah. So anyway, I watched a bunch of that game and... It was cool. It's when when my buddy booted up, he thought it was going to be a little faster and slashier, where you just walk in and boom, 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 like some Star Wars games are. Mm-hmm. That is not this game.
Yes.
This game has accurately been described as a Dark Souls Metroidvania mix-up. So
I don't know if I would even call it a Dark Souls. I think it's more similar, like combat and like the flow of combat to like God of War, like the new God of War. Like I wouldn't necessarily. I think saying it's a Souls game, like, or at least part Souls, implies like a bunch of things about it that it's not. And that game is like way faster and honestly like less deliberate in a way, from what I can tell.
Well, so here's what I would say is there are a lot of moments where you walk into an area that is big with multiple areas you can go.
Yeah.
You walk in and you can go left, right, up, down, and straight. And all of them will take you somewhere where maybe you find something hidden, maybe you find some enemy, maybe whatever. And you know, you turn a corner and you're like, oh, this is a new enemy. Oh, I'm dead. Yeah. Oh man. And then it gives you a little journal thing. It's just like, hey, these attack in groups, you know, to stun and overwhelm their prey. And so it's like, oh, okay, so when they charge at me, I just need to dodge that, and they die in one hit. Okay, cool. And so you find enemies, and it'll kind of teach you that. You know, we found, I would describe a mini-boss that really messed us up.
Was it a frog?
It was a big frog.
Okay, everybody's online talking about the big frog.
Okay, so what's funny, this was truly the moment that it made me think of Dark Souls. In Dark Souls 1, which is the only one I've played, right at the beginning, there is a spot where they put you up high. You're in the tutorial. So this is like still the first level where you learn right after this spot, you learn how to wall run. So they're teaching you how to do this stuff, right? Well, in Dark Souls, you're way up on this perch and there's a huge enemy that's like, how could I possibly hurt this thing?
Right.
Oh, well, you just jump off of a ledge and then you hit square and you mash down into it, right? So you land on it with the lightsaber. Yeah. As soon as that happened, I was like, man, this is Dark Souls. Like, that was clearly taken from, like, that's an iconic thing that Dark Souls does. Put you at the front, show you that you can land on creatures jumping off a ledge. But there's a bunch of stuff like that. The idea is, like, when you die, you have to not kill, but hit the enemy who killed you.
Interesting.
So the big frog killed us many times, so we had to at least get our first attack off without it killing us to get our experience back. So technically you can grind in that game, but it doesn't. I get the impression from online, from the internet, that grinding is not the way to really play that game. You can. Mm-hmm. I will say, so friend wanted the game to be a little faster and hack and slashier, right? Well, you can spec into either survival, acrobatics, basically, and force powers. So magic, tank,
sure,
dexterity. Right. And right. That's an oversimplification. That's not a Dark Souls comparison. But
yeah.
There's that, and you can really choose like the upgrades it gives you. We only saw the very beginning of them because I don't think it lets you look at the ones you can't unlock.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt good. It felt like the chain of like how you can customize your character's movement and all this stuff. It seemed really cool. It seemed robust, and it seemed like there was a lot. There were a ton of abilities and items and costumes that you could unlock. It seems like the lightsaber customization is going to be huge.
I've seen a whole lot of people post like really fucking cool clips on Twitter, and it's just they have a different lightsaber every time, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that's pretty cool.
So like, it's nice. It feels like you actually have some control over this character. Yeah, he has a name, so it's not like a custom creation.
Yeah,
but I like that. So he feels like your character, and traversing those environments generally feels pretty good.
Saw a good wall run in there. Shout out to Respawn. I love them.
Yeah, I was telling my buddy, I was like, oh yeah, so you da-da-da-da Titanfall. He's like, oh yeah? You think they got the wall running from there? I was like, did they?
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, sorry, buddy, if you're listening to this right now. Looked very cool. So that's the first half of what I didn't expect. The other half is that it is rough around the edges, dude.
Yeah.
Glitches galore. At the end of the very first level... So the first level, a lot of it takes place in a very, very windy place.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the level, you're indoors. I'll just say you're indoors.
Okay.
You're very clearly, undeniably indoors. And the cutscene starts and it's facing it like somebody else, like an NPC. And they're talking. You're like, oh, cool. and then it turns over to you, and your body and like your clothes and lightsaber are still like as if you're still out in the wind, and your guy's just walking around nonchalant, and his clothes are just going nuts.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that that game could have probably done well with a few more months.
Yeah,
like the core of it is very, very good. It just needed like maybe a few more months of like just some like hardcore just polish work.
There's one time I rolled into the so we swapped off the controller a few times. I rolled into the giant frog and it tried to turn in a weird direction, and it ended up just like glitching like 10 feet in the air and then falling down.
Great.
Like completely rigid.
Excellent.
And I was like, oh, video games.
Hey.
So that stuff was funny. The frog also killed itself after, like, we tried so hard to beat it, and we did, and we were like, heck yeah. And then the next time I was just nearby and it just fell off the cliff and died.
Great.
And we're like, okay, that was a little less satisfying, but is entertaining. So
yeah.
I will say, while rough around the edges, definitely there's a lot more there that I
I believe they've thoroughly communicated out that they're going to do a big performance upgrade patch, which you would kind of expect at this point. So
yeah,
my
favorite
that's
part
cool.
I think is the exploration. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll probably, well, knowing how I actually play games, I'll probably pick that up in about 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 to 5 years. You'll probably pick it up when the next generation of consoles comes around, not the PlayStation 5. So.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. That all sounds great. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we will come back, and then I will just go off for about an hour.
Heck yeah.
Cool.
Hello, this is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network, and I am here to tell you about Screen Heroes. Do you love superheroes? What about superheroes in film and TV? How about weird rankings like top five lists, or maybe three people just arguing about top five lists? Either way, we are the podcast for you. Check us out every Tuesday night live on Twitch. Or subscribe to Screen Heroes Podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Google Play. Now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
What's up? We're back. It's Pokemon time, Thomas.
Let's do it.
All right. Pokemon Sword and Shield came out Friday. Guess what I've done literally since Thursday night at 11 p.m. Central Time until basically now?
Not sleeping.
Played Pokemon Sword and Shield. Really just Shield, because I'm not going to buy both of them, because they're basically the same game. And I know people who both of them.
Casual?
So. Fucking apparently. Man. This game's really good. It's really good. I think to start off, I will say, if you like Pokemon, play it. Like, and that's it. that's the podcast, everyone.
All right.
It's just really good. There's a lot of like really cool, nice quality of life changes around everything. The framing of everything is really cool. Like for example, you have like your typical like get your 8 gym badges, go fight the Elite Four, fight the champion and everything. So this time everything is framed. So it takes place in the Galar region, which basically is just the UK. It's they are like not shy about how everything is very much inspired by the United Kingdom.
Do most enemies say hello, governor?
So there are a couple that do, actually.
Okay.
there is like this screenshot going around of this police officer that battles you, and he's just like, hello, hello, and like just like fucking comes out of nowhere, you know, like the cops. And it was very funny. But so it's framed to where there's this thing called the gym challenge, where it's basically you can go through and you have a chance of like fighting all of the gym leaders, collecting all the badges, and then taking on the champion, who is currently undefeated. Like he's never lost a match, both exhibition or like actually like quote ranked or whatever. So that's kind of like the neat framing. So it very much feels like you're, instead of just like having to go get these 8 badges and it's just kind of something that always happens, it's like this big fanfare, like almost like a soccer season, because it is like very much inspired by Britain. And in fact, like all of the gyms are fucking stadiums. So you'll go in and you like complete like a gym mission. So each gym feels very different because you're doing something different to like get up to the gym leader. Once you get to the gym leader, so you probably understand that I'm a big fan of spectacle.
Indeed.
I really like it when things are just very, like, theatrical, but done very well. And, like, the gym leader battles in this game, at least from what I've seen so far, are probably, like, the best Pokemon has, like, looked in terms of just pure spectacle. It's treated like you are in a fucking soccer stadium, or, I'm sorry, football stadium, or pitch, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And, like, the Pokemon battle between you and the gym leader is treated as this, like, big championship event. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing the fight, and everything sounds really cool. The gym leader fucking battle music slaps fucking hard. Mm-hmm. It's like this cool, like, Eurobeat trance, like, this, not trance, like, this Eurobeat dance, like, something you would hear in a nightclub music. Like, something you would hear just, like, bumping out of the speakers at an actual sporting event to, like, get people fucking amped, and it works.
I've seen multiple people today.
It's so good,
like,
Thomas.
Oh, dude, I got that gym music stuck in my head.
It's so good. And the coolest thing about it is that everything feels very like this, like, natural progression of something, like, if you're watching, like, this really cool, very kind of close sporting event. Mm-hmm. So, say, for example, I'm just going to go with the first gym leader, who is Milo. He's the grass type. He starts the battle, like, does this cool intro and everything. Everything looks great because it's on the Switch for the first time.
What intro? Is it like in Borderlands where they're like, hey, it's this guy, the plant
dude?
Kind
of, actually. It's very much like you both walk out into the stadium. The crowd's around you just, like, screaming, getting ready for the match. And then he's just, like, he introduces himself to you, and then you just, like, kind of get on with the battle, and he, like, says something, and then it, like, pans up. And it, like, he pulls out, like, the Pokeball that he's going to throw from the match. And then his, like, name flashes up in the corner of the screen. And then the music just starts right then and there. And it's just, like, fucking going.
Nice.
So then you both, like, do the Pokemon battle thing. Once you knock out the first Pokemon of his, the music changes a little bit. Mm. So it gets, like, a little bit more, like, it opens up, like, tonally, like, the chords change a little bit. It feels less kind of like just basic rhythmic stuff, but it's got, like, this, like, cool melody line and everything.
Well, not unlike in Celeste, where as you progress,
right,
the layers
right.
of the song move around and change
right.
a little bit.
It's very dynamic in that way. And it, like, really fucking caps off whenever the last Pokemon of the gym leader comes out, because the music, like, keeps that cool, like, awesome fucking, having trouble thinking of words right now. It has that cool, vibe to it, but, the third Pokemon is typically where a Dynamax happens, which is the Dynamax, which, if you've probably seen from the trailer, is a big Pokemon. You essentially...
What was it called? Super Evolution?
Mega Evolution. In the previous one. So that one, basically, that lasted for the entire duration of the battle. This one is three turns and you're out, which I kind of like a whole lot more from a balance perspective, because it's something you have to commit to, and it, like, changes your moves, too. And your moves
when you say you're
events.
Out, you're like, what, you're... Pokemon faints?
You can only Dynamax once per battle.
Okay.
And the Dynamax lasts for three turns. That's it.
And then when the three turns are up, you just go back to normal?
You just go back to normal.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically at, like, that third stage, you're the opponent, like, the gym leader throws out their Pokemon and then Dynamaxes it. And then you can Dynamax yours, you may have already, whatever. But it's, like, very fucking huge and towering in this cool way that feels like you're watching, like, these giant fucking...
Like a kaiju battle.
Exactly. It feels very much like a kaiju battle. And, like, some Pokemon will actually, like, change form a little bit, depending on, like, if they can do, like, a, quote, Gigantamax or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wait. What?
Gigantamax? It's basically, like, a special form change and allows them to get access to, like, this secret super move, but only, like, certain Pokemon can do it. So not every Pokemon can Dynamax, but everyone can become big.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically all it is. Yeah, and so, like, once that happens, the music, like, keeps that cool, like, atmosphere and this really energetic vibe to it, but also there's a second melody added on top of it, which, you've been to a soccer game, right? Mm-hmm. It's literally crowd chanting and, like, singing as a big, like, group. Like, it's so
that's
fucking
cool.
It is so
Man,
fucking
cool. That's awesome.
Cool.
The gym battles, you know, I haven't played a Pokemon game since, you know, Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
Technically, I played Fiery Red. But it's been, like, a long time. I mean, I don't normally play them anymore. And everybody remembers the gym battle music.
Yeah.
Is like, it pumps you up.
Totally.
You know, so it, you're describing just like primo.
It's fucking
gym
awesome. Like that. It is really, really, really cool. It never, like, I think I'm on my way to the seventh gym right now. And I never, like, I play that game with headphones in because, I mean, Pokemon music is just very good, just kind of on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it just, that shit gets me going. Like, I was on my plane on my flight home last night, just fucking like, yeah, let's fucking go. It's like 11:45 at night.
The sound on a Switch is really good.
It's pretty good with headphones in.
With headphones,
yeah.
It's good.
The speakers are fine. But
yeah, I agree.
Man,
it really gets you going. Like,
I'll have to play you like the full version with like the crowd noise and everything in it after we get done recording.
All right.
Because it's like four or 5 minutes.
You'll play that while I play my Apex clip.
Great. Perfect. So there's some other things that I really, really like about it.
Hey, I just want to say,
yeah,
I'm really glad you like this game.
Me too. I kind of knew I was going to. All right, we're going to get into this now. All of the negative bullshit that's been like coming out around it.
Yeah.
Was just, oh my God. So the funniest thing to me, which I'll use this to sort of tie it to the actual game itself, is the fact that, like, the Team Rocket of this game is called Team Yell, and they are literally a toxic fan base. Isn't that fucking incredible? They are a fan base that is, like, cheering for this one girl so hard that they ruin everyone else's lives. Oh. And the only way to get them to go away is to publicly embarrass the shit out of them.
Dude.
It's fucking great.
Team Yell?
Team Yell.
Oh, man.
And, like, also, their theme, fucking banger. It's just, like, this fucking punk rock, like, just thrashy, kind of like a guitar. Like, it's just heavy guitars with a little bit of synth, and it's fucking good. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, like, they just, like, follow this one other challenger around, and she's, like, super nice and cool and, like, has this, like, her character is very interesting, and she's just like, hey, these guys follow me around. I'm really fucking sorry, guys.
Oh, no.
And like, you just beat the shit out of their Pokemon, and then they leave because they're so embarrassed, and it is so fucking satisfying.
Man, they couldn't have written it better.
Honestly, they really couldn't have. Obviously, they had this stuff planned way in advance, but I mean,
maybe
I'd be tempted to be like, you know what? Fuck these guys. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to write these to make ourselves feel better, because boy, howdy, were people on the internet being pieces of shit about Pokemon.
Man, dude, people. Okay. So we had like a storm. This is me completely pulling stuff out of the air here. I'm just a guy. I'm no journalist. We had like a storm of people having opinions on Death Stranding before it was even playable by the public.
Mm-hmm.
People had opinions on it, whether it was good or bad, before it even came out, and reviewers even played it. And I feel like that got the internet riled up in a way that I found very unappealing.
So,
where people were just taking sides, but that happened,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately, right behind it, is Sword and Shield.
So the Pokemon stuff has been going, like, the negative, like, toxic, aggressively bad fanbase stuff, I mean, has been there forever, but
yeah.
Like, it literally started pretty much right after E3, where
yep.
they announced, hey, we're not going to have every single Pokemon in this game. We are cutting them for balance reasons, which is totally fair. Like, honestly, from having, like, spent a whole lot of time with the game, it's really kind of nice to run into new Pokemon and, like, give them the, like, extra design space and let other strategies, like, with your teams be much more, like, successful.
What gen is this?
This is Generation 8.
So if they had everybody to be like, cool, I recognize seven-eighths of the Pokemon.
I haven't seen
so,
like, the full Pokedex leaked out like right before the game launched. I have intentionally avoided it. I am, like, for the most part, discovering this game as it goes.
That's pretty sweet.
And it's been an absolute blast. I am having so much fun with this game. They added this thing called, I'm just kind of like, all over the fucking place because I'm really tired.
At least it's not me this time.
Right, right. They added this area called the Wild Area, which is, for lack of a better term, like this kind of neat open world, just exploration area.
Is it like a big box like the Safari Zone used to be, or is it
kind
almost like a procedural thing?
It is like very rigid, and it's like this portion of the map that is called the Wild Area. So it's not like huge and massive, but it is pretty large, and you'll just see like Pokemon wandering around like you would in Let's Go, but also you can go into the grass and sort of have random encounters, which I think works out well.
Is there an option in this game to change how often you find random encounters or Pokemon in the world or anything?
So they just kind of pop up. Like, they will be pretty much only focused around grass areas, or if you're in the water, or if you're in like a cave, they'll just pop up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's similar to like Let's Go, to where you will see the Pokemon in the overworld, mm-hmm. but also like if you're in the grass, you'll see like a little exclamation point and like a little tuft of grass moving. That's typically, from my experience, like more of a rarer encounter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it works really well. It's like kind of a nice blend of both. Obviously, the traditional like battling style and catching Pokemon style is back, so like all of that is there. There's a lot of cool customization stuff in it. You not only get the opportunity to like not like fully customize your like league issued card, which is pretty much like, it's really kind of like your trading card for this like league challenge. It's like that, and also sort of like an ID badge for like your entrance or something. But you can like customize like your pose, you can customize your trainer completely by like buying a bunch of like different clothing and like going through, and like there's like barber shops where you can like go through that. There's salons, like you can get your makeup done if you want, you can change your hairstyle and all of that.
I've seen a bunch of people make jokes basically saying, if you bought Pokemon only to battle Pokemon and not like discover your fashion career.
Fucking right, man. Like, honestly, almost all of the outfits in that game and like all of the clothing looks pretty good. Like, it's really nice.
I didn't expect it to have such a robust
customization. I kind of didn't either, because the last ones didn't. And it was cool that they focused a little bit more on that. Like, I was really into it.
It's funny. I remember the days of Gold and Silver where it was like, hey, do you want to give your Pokemon a haircut? And I'm like,
sure, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no visible difference.
Totally.
You know,
all it did was like raise their happiness level. Yeah.
Yeah. So it like from that to these days of just like, hey, do whatever you want. Like, shiny Pokemon exist. Hey, also, you could kind of be shiny because you could dress up to be unique.
Yeah. So I also, obviously, like, the biggest appeal of Pokemon for pretty much anybody who plays Pokemon are the new Pokemon. And I'm going to go through a few of them, and I'm going to show them to you, but I recommend, if you are interested in listening to the show, you should look some of them up, because I love just about every single design that I've seen. I was talking to my friend Nate earlier about, like, the new Pokemon designs and how much I really enjoy them, and it's, like, this pretty even split between ones that are really just genuinely fucking cool, and then some that are just so stupid that it works out really well.
They have some funny dumb ones.
They really do, and I really, really like a whole lot of them. So, like, you obviously have, like, your starters and everything. Grookey, who's, like, this little, like, cute monkey with a stick, and Scorbunny and Sobble and all of that stuff. I'm gonna go to a few other ones here.
So just to clear it up.
Yes.
Two starter Pokemon from different generations. There's Scorbunny, and Scorchick, right? Or Scorchick?
Torchic. Yes.
Different.
Yes. Very different.
Okay. Sorry.
So let's see here. So they also brought back like the Galar forms. So in Sun and Moon, they had different forms of Pokemon that people already knew and loved, which I thought was really cool. Like, it allowed you to kind of, I don't want to say reuse the Pokemon, but it made it feel much more like this big living world. Like, these Pokemon, like, showed up here and then just adapted to the climate. So, like, you have Zigzagoon, who is now basically like the next member of KISS. He's like very black and white, and then evolves
stars
into
stars for eyes,
right? And then evolves into like Linoon. It's like very like rock. There's a whole lot of punk rock influences in this game, and I'm like here for it, because I mean, it's British, you
that's
know?
Funny. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So let's see.
You think that's for real on purpose?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, punk is a big part of, like, British history.
Well, for sure. I just didn't, well, you know, they could have made that the setting, but almost accidentally made it punk.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I can totally understand that.
Heavily stylized, but
here a little bit more.
It was two generations ago. You could go to basically Paris, right? There's a big Eiffel Tower looking thing.
Yeah, that was, I think, X and Y. I actually never played those, but those were, like, the first ones in 3D.
Yeah, watch my brother play some of those.
Yeah, it was wild, like, honestly, going through the wild area and, like, rotating the camera with the right stick.
Oh.
That was weird. Like, the rest of the game is still pretty much just, like, that still relatively on rails.
Mm-hmm.
But you go in the wild area, and it's, like, just, you are just wandering around third person in this, like, sort of open area.
Oh, that's cool.
It's
really
cool.
Makes it feel, like, bigger, you know.
Yeah, and like different areas have like different climates and stuff. You can also, we're there, do raid battles.
Oh,
so they added raid
those.
Battles to Pokemon called, I think they're just called max raid battles or something, where you will basically find this like beam of light shooting out of this like hole in the ground. If you go up to it, then you can just say, hey, do you want to do this? And it's like rated 1 through 5 stars for difficulty. And you essentially just, you and 3 other trainers, they can be CPUs if you're just playing by yourself, which is great. Or you can play with your friends online, or you can play locally. I played a whole lot locally this past weekend when I was out in Minnesota. But you all essentially are like put into this instance where you are working with 3 other trainers to take down this Dynamax Pokemon. And like only like some Pokemon can only be caught by doing the raids, which I think is cool.
There's a layer
of strategy to it. Like, it's pretty advantageous to have a Pokemon that is like relatively specialized in support moves, which is something that you don't really think about a whole lot.
Yeah.
Only your team as a whole can only Dynamax one Pokemon for the entire raid. So you have to like kind of decide who is going to be doing that and like figure all
damn it,
Cam.
Dynamaxed early. I was gonna Dynamax.
Totally. And like, I have run into that issue before, but like, obviously if you're playing with friends, you can plan that stuff out, and like, you can take on like a 1 or 2 star raid by yourself, but anything higher, it does get more difficult.
Does Pokemon still have the, hey, you can only get this third version if you trade for it? Does it still have that?
So there are still Pokemon that are version exclusive. I went with Shield because I typically also just go with like the warmer colors of the two versions. I just always have. But also, like, I just really like Galarian Ponyta, who is a fucking unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
That's rad, right?
I know the Galarian?
Yeah.
Vulpix was cool.
Alolan. That was Alolan. Yeah.
That's right. That is cool that they did that. Besides the exclusives to each game, I'm talking like you could only get Gengar if you trade it. Right?
Oh, yeah. I think that some of those Pokemon are still around. Like, I caught a Machop, and the only way to evolve a Machoke into a Machamp is to trade him. Yeah, and that's okay. Just, like,
yeah,
how that Pokemon
because
works.
Because I had wondered if they used those raid encounters, which would technically be multiplayer, even if it was CPU. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if they would use those as a substitute for trading, but if they still have...
They still have that in there. That's just how that Pokemon has always evolved.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they still do that with new Pokemon? Or is that like a legacy thing?
I think a few of them, yeah. Yeah, I think there have been some in the past that like require you to trade them in order to do that. But there's also like some that also like you have to hold an item and trade them. Like there's very much still very like an element of that in there.
That's cool.
So one of my favorite Pokemon that I've found so far that I love dearly is Sizzlipede. He's a bug fire type. He's just a little centipede, fire centipede. He evolves into Scentiscorch, who is
they love
fucking
Scorch.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's got like fucking fire, like quad mustache sticking out. He's like a giant standing up like centipede. He's fucking cool.
I'm not used to seeing bug Pokemon and being like, oh, heck yeah.
Right. There's Rolycoly.
I'm not used to
like,
seeing fire and bug Pokemon.
There's like Rolycoly, who is like a rock type. He's sort of like
Rolycoly.
Because it's a lot of coal in the region. And you'll see that as we get to like the further evolutions. So he's, I liken him to like the Geodude of this generation.
Checks
he's
out.
Like a 3-stage rock
what
type.
A what a good name, Geodude.
Well, wait till you see his evolution. Carcoal, literally a cart with coal on it, and it's fucking good. It's good, Thomas.
Can I hold that?
Yes. Tell me that's not incredible.
Oh, no. I went somewhere.
Oh, you went.
What is this Pokemon? I've made a mistake.
That is Bulldor. He was introduced in Generation 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So he's been around.
You said
for
we're
a
in 8.
Yeah. He's good. He's real good.
He looks like if you turned a Koopa, if you kind of took a Koopa, flipped it upside down or flipped its shell on the bottom and then made it all edgy.
Yeah, I can see that. Then we have him evolving into Colossal, which is basically
another.
Yeah. His 3rd stage, which I think is great. I have him in my party right now, but I also just really like fire types. I have too many fire types in my party
what
right
is
now.
Fire and rock?
Fire and rock. Yeah.
I
just like that they're like leaning into that kind of like industrial
Colossal.
Revolution aspect of it.
I like that. I wonder if they came up with Colossal first and they were like, all right, what are his
I wouldn't
first
be surprised. Yeah.
But they like them puns.
The Galarian Meowth is a little weird. He's a steel type.
That is weird.
But he doesn't evolve into Persian. He evolves into Perzerker, which is a Viking Pokemon.
I don't know if I am okay with this.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up.
That makes me feel weird.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you there. There's one in particular I want to get to that I really love.
It's a fire and dragon. It's called Charizard.
He's fire and flying,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, I did know that. Sir. I did know that. Dragon wasn't even around in first gen.
Yes, it was.
Yes,
the only
it was.
Dragon type move,
Dragonite.
The only dragon type move was Dragon Rage, which just always does 40 damage. Come on, where are you? Where are you? We're getting there. Do you have any other questions about Pokemon I can answer while I'm getting here?
Let's see. Sword and Shield. What are the legendary Pokemon like?
So I haven't got there yet, but they are named Zacian and Zamazenta.
Okay.
And it's literally just a dog with a cool legendary dog with a shield and one that just
Sid
has a
from
sword.
Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly. Just a sword in his mouth. Yes. So Toxel, this little like baby looking dude. He's just like whatever, you know, whatever. But he evolves into Toxtricity.
Toxtricity,
which is a good name.
I like that.
And he's very much like he's literally inspired by punk rock. Like his ability. Actually, like he's poison and electric, which is a cool type.
Even the colors, he's this cool like electric blue and dark purple.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's cool.
So yeah, and you can like see the motions in there and everything. Yeah, like strumming his chest.
Oh my gosh!
Because he is like he's literally like a punk rock Pokemon. Like his ability gives him bonuses, like for damage output for moves that are sound based, which isn't even a typing, but there's it just checks in the game for that. But he's also poison and electric type, which is a cool typing.
I feel okay. So the Pokemon bios.
I've been talking for like 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm down for it. The Pokemon bios over the years have gotten pretty insane, right?
Yeah.
Like Magma Slug, Slugmar. I don't know. He's a Lava Slug from
Slugma.
Gen.
Yeah, Slugma.
Yeah, Slugma. Okay.
Yeah, you were close.
His bio is like, it basically says his back is really hot. It's like the temperature of 1,000 suns. And it's like, are you see? Because it seriously says his back is almost as hot as the sun. And it's like, okay, let's back this up a second. I don't know if that seems too hot.
Yeah, that checks out.
I saw one from what I assume to be a new Pokemon that said whatever this Pokemon is can read emotions from up to 30 miles away. If it senses hostility, it will go on the attack. It's like 30 miles, man. That thing couldn't live near anything.
Yeah, like honestly, like a lot of the, for lack of a better term, power creep in Pokemon is a little ridiculous.
The power creep,
like just the idea of like everything's just fucking super fucking powerful.
Yeah.
Like things that are like beforehand aren't that like. But there's also some like really fun and cool Pokedex entries. Like Mimikyu is like, in my opinion, one of the more interesting
Mimikyu.
Pokemon.
Man,
because Mimikyu is you shut your fucking mouth.
Actually,
we respect Mimikyu in this house.
What I want is I want you to make a new podcast where you just make up one Pokemon and come up with an entire backstory. Basically, you'd come up with an episode of Pokemon the TV show that would feature that new Pokemon you just came up with and some bio that is so turned up to 11, but it's canon. It's canon now.
So Mimikyu. Mimikyu literally has that like fake Pikachu costume because it is a ghost type, but if anybody sees its true form, they die like immediately.
Oh.
And so
heck,
it was lonely and wanted to make friends and saw that so many people loved Pikachu that it created this costume so it could go out and make friends and like be with people. That's literally it. It's so cool. Lampent, another Pokemon, which is the pre-evolution of Chandelure, my favorite Pokemon.
Chandelure.
Fucking like Sword and Shield Pokedex entries are dark as hell. For instance.
Oh, yeah.
So like this Pokemon appears just before someone passes away. So it's feared as an emissary of death. Or it lurks in cities pretending to be a lamp. Once it finds someone whose death it's near, it will trail quietly after them.
Pretty spooky, man.
Pokemon. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm having a fucking blast.
I'm really glad you're enjoying it.
I wanted to play it all day today. I want to play it right now. I need to take my Switch out of my lap. Otherwise, I will just play it during this show.
I don't think I say this without hyperbole. I don't think I've ever been so excited to simultaneously play so many games as I am right now.
Yeah.
right now, I would be very happy to play Hearthstone, Battlegrounds, Stardew, Celeste, God of War, and Apex. Every single one of those, I could play any of those right now and just be super amped about it. And that's like 5 or 6 games. I could put Spelunky on that list again, even though I've put so much. I'm so excited about it. There's just, like, I'm excited for this holiday break.
Yeah,
because,
honestly,
dude, there's just a lot. And all the stuff I'm playing is old. There's a lot of new stuff that we've talked about all the time.
Quarter 1 2020 is going to hit us like a fucking freight train, man. Dude. Like,
Well, I'm glad I've got all this stuff because I am not in a position to spend much money this Black Friday. So
no, I can understand that. I'm going to buy a car, like, maybe this week. I don't know. So
NBD.
Well, yeah, right. You know, God, I'm going to be so fucking poor.
But you'll be glad you had it. My friend,
honestly,
my cross up guy, my numero uno, his car shit the bed and he had to get a new car and he's like, man, I'm bummed that I have to do all this stuff. I hate adulting, but I'm like, dude, you're going to really be happy when it's snowing out. And you're like,
oh,
I just know
yes.
My car's going to work.
Yep. Absolutely.
Rick and Morty's back on, on TV right now. And, I didn't watch the episode this week yet, but, Lizzie and I were going and watching some old episodes. So we watched the episode where Rick has a car battery that he powers by creating like a microverse in it, right? So he creates a universe and gives those people electricity, and then they send some of his electricity to the battery, so the battery powers this car. It's this ridiculous premise or whatever. But I keep thinking of that like Pokemon, where it's just like, what if... You know, I feel like they're going to have like a motor Pokemon or like an engine Pokemon where it'll straight up be like, oh, yeah, this Pokemon just runs all the cars, or like this Pokemon is a train conductor.
So,
that's an electric type.
So
tell me there's a train conductor Pokemon.
I don't know. There might be.
Well, you know,
but here's the thing. Here is the thing. There is this Pokemon that was it was a legendary Pokemon at some point. I think it still technically is, but who fucking knows anymore. Called Rotom, or however you want to pronounce it. Rotom's literally just a power source now. Like, you have, like, your Pokedex in this game and, like, your town map and everything is literally just on your Rotom phone.
Really?
Yeah, it's literally, like, it just powers absolutely everything. Your bike is a Rotom bike.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's exactly
so
what you're talking about.
So Rotom is the name of the
about.
Pokemon?
Yeah, R-O-T-O-M.
That is exactly
there is,
what
like,
I'm talking
there's,
about.
Like, 5 or 6 forms of Rotom that are, like, television, fridge, like washer and dryer.
Is it like an Eevee kind of thing?
Sort of. It's like more form based.
Yeah, yeah.
So like you have to do like different things to like transform it into a different form, stuff like that. Sort of like a cast form would in like Gen 4 or 3 or wherever it came out at. I'm probably just, you're staring at me blankly.
Wait, so how is that not like Eevee though? Because like
it's not an evolution because it's still Rotom and it can like go between the different forms.
Okay, just like Ditto is still Ditto when it turns into
right.
something else.
Pretty similar to that. It's not even a move, it's just like something that happens passively that changes it.
Or
and
like Unknown can be a bunch of different shapes. Is it something
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
It's like you're
yeah.
still the same
Absolutely.
Pokemon, you just look
yeah.
different.
That's much more on the nose, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Well, that's funny that exact Pokemon
yes,
exists.
yes, absolutely.
All right, well...
They've just kind of, like, leaned into Rotom as, like, this fucking, like, it just powers everything.
Dude,
I'm like, all right,
now
I
feel like if we did make a podcast that was us coming up with Pokemon, if you put me and someone else who's not played in, like, 10, 15 years, and we came up with 20 of the most ridiculous Pokemon, I bet 15 of them are already...
Yeah, you guys could just spitball them, and I'll just
Pokemon.
Be like, that one's real, that one's real, that one's real.
That one is perfect, except you messed up the spelling.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You
oh,
even
wow.
got
you,
the
like,
name right.
You, like, fucking nailed that, and then you, like, draw it, and it's the same thing, and I'm like, what the fuck? All right, let's go ahead and wrap this one up here.
All right.
That's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what you heard, please consider kicking us a buck or five at patreon.com slash heroes podcast. Excuse me. That'll help the show and network grow to do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that's perfectly fine. Just share the show with a friend or rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. If you have any questions or ideas for future topics for us to cover, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamDyMan, and Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. If you're in the Kansas City area or even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter or GGKC on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming events and communities in the area that would absolutely love to have you be a part of them.
Oh, hey, next Strictly Casual, next meetup in Kansas City
yes.
is December 18th.
Is it 18th?
18th. It's
Hell
a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
Hell yeah. Be there.
If you're
games.
In Kansas City, come hang out.
Tapcade, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll have Rock Band and stuff and video games. My
Discord just went off and the mic probably picked it up, but whatever. Hey. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.